leg injured. And at that time would be, I would say, in the about the year of 1911 or 12. Now, this was in the winter time. There was no ambulances around at that time. They would call the company, would have some farmer deliver you home in a bobsleigh or to a hospital, local hospital. But I recall my brother being brought home by this man with his horse and sleigh in the wintertime, well blanketed, of course, and was off for several months with this injury.
What kind of coal was mined in this area?
This area is, of course, as a soft coal. We, to my knowledge, there would be some would be, some would say, not so good, good, better. And I always took particular observation to say, well, what was the best coal that was mined in Bay City? And I believe every miner that I ever asked would tell me that was Black Diamond. That was owned by the Robert Gage Coal Company. And that's located, as you're coming back, there's still the old shale pile there, coming back from Midland Way on the new I-75. What's called I-75 going to Midland? Or back.
Were there many layoffs in the mines?
I don't recall hearing about layoffs. The strike situation was very serious at times. More or less, I could never figure out. Now, I'm saying this on my own, of course. I belong to labor unions also all my life. But it always struck me funny that the United Mine Workers would go on strike at the spring of the year, not in the wintertime, when they needed the coal. It always happened the 1st of April. So you could probably say you're good for the summer if you didn't find something to do, which that was up to you, of course. So the grocery bills piled up and everything else piled up, and you went back when the strike was over for two more years. Usually, I would say a two-year contract.
What did the miners do in this area when they were off for a strike or a layoff? Did many of them get jobs in factories?
Well, that question, I asked my younger brother, said that, remarked about, you know, our dad was such a good union man, which he was. They said, now, fellas, we're home, we're on strike. Don't go out and take another man's job. And that's what we done. But that was up to the individual. If he wanted to work for some construction company, digging sewers, it was pick and shovel those days, or wherever, whatever he wanted to take on, that was his business. And I might put it this way, too, in that area of Auburn and so forth, there was a lot of the farmers that worked in these mines. So the farmer had the best of it. He could raise his crops and be, you know, pretty well set, I would say, for during that length of strike.
Do you know of anybody who worked in a factory during the strike and didn't go back because they preferred the factory work?
I would say there was probably several, I would say, knowingly, that would take, it was coal mining those days or railroading. I did know of a number that would take a job on the railroad, then not return to the mine.
give their reasons why they didn't go back?
Well, I would put, say this, that one good reason, if you had a job with the railroad in those years, that you had a good thing. There was very, very few layoffs, to my knowledge, say, in the railroad. That would be car department, bridge jobs, bridge construction jobs on the railroad, brakemen, switchmen, firemen. That would be what they would strive for, a job that would be steady.
Can you tell us how many mines, coal mines, were located in this area?
In the Bay Area?
Yes.
I will recall, I had them marked down. Now, I'll start, we'll start out of the city limits or in towns. To my knowledge, I'm going to start with Sebewing. There was a mine there. It was a small mine. Akron had a mine or two. Unionville had mines there, and I believe one of the last big mines in this area to close up operations. I'm quite sure that was, I know it was, I'm sure, the Robert, either Big, the name of the mine was Big Chief. It could have been, I'm quite sure it was owned or operated by Robert Gage Coal Company. Then we'll go out north of town. There was first the Winona Beach Mine. Winona Beach Mine. Wolverine, as they called it, number two. Number three, that is just about where the, on the site now of that automobile raceway is out of Auburn. There was two mines there. They was owned by the Consolidated Coal Company of Saginaw. Then coming this way toward Auburn Lake, there was one handy mine, possibly two to my knowledge. The Beaver Mine, that was Robert Gage owned. Black Diamond also was Robert Gage owned. And then as you come down in the Salzburg area, there was a mine they called the Central. Then Crescent. And there was one more there on Fisher Avenue. But these were real, I say, real small mines, and was more or less run by a group of miners themselves. You know what I mean? What do you call a co-op? Would you call it a cooperative mine?
Yes.
You more or less, you didn't have to belong to the union there to work there. It was the stock. They had stockholders. Then out near where we, the Michigan House is on Salzburg Way, there was what they call the Monitor Mine. So all in all, I could probably count at least 18 coal mines in this area, to my knowledge.
Was there much advancement in the mines for the miners as there was in the factories?
Personally, I would put it this way. You had to have the knowledge of what a mine or how it was supposed to be run. Whether you, looking back to, I recall many, many, and that was what they call, we'll say, what they call a boss driver. He was under company supervision. The superintendent, the mine, wherever he was naturally under the company supervision. Other foremen, but as far as, I don't know how you could advance too much, personally, myself, and I just don't know how you went there to make your money. And if you was offered a job to, I would say that if you thought, well, gee, I'm going to be the foreman, I'm not meaning in a way that it'd be a lot easier, which it would, of course, I'm sure, but they have their duties too.
So everybody was their own boss since they had piecework, the miners.
The piecework, yeah. Like I say, the track layers, electrician, that would come under, shall I say, the mine manager or the superintendent. They generally called him the superintendent, whoever he was. On top, you had your office force, which probably five people would take care of it, if that many.
When the miner exploded the explosives at the end of the day, the next day he would dig through the stuff and then fill the cars? Or did he have a set pattern? Would he dig so much and then fill so many cars? Or do you have any idea how he did this during the day?
I inquired about that very much, about what I was always leery was this here setting the powder fuse and so forth and this dynamite to make sure your coal was going to be broke loose good for you to load in the morning.
So after they exploded it, then they loaded up the cars.
Oh, yes.
The stuff that broke loose. I see.
No, anything that would be left over, a piece of fuse or something like that, if that was loaded in the car, there would be nothing that would cause any damage to anybody that received it in their coal bin.
Can you describe the process of finding a good area for coal and sinking a shaft? Tell us how they went about finding an area for the shaft.
Years ago, of course, I doubt, to my knowledge, if there is any, what they call these men was named mine sinkers. They was the ones that bored down to find out where the good veins of coal would be, and also to take a contract to make these shafts. You know, there's one, you know, two shafts, one going up, one going down. And when they got down there then, it was up to the company, of course, to start which way are we going now. You know what I mean? Right, left, or what?
They made two shafts, one for up and one for down.
Yeah.
Did they make a third shaft for ventilation?
That's the one I told you about, safety exit, if
I
you
see.
Needed it.
The ventilation was also the safety exit.
Yeah.
I see.
And they had so-called pump men down there also that if you had a wet mine, more so, they had these pumps which had to be taken care of proper way for to pump this excess water that would build up in times 12, 24 hours. And that was that man's job, a pump man.
If the air wasn't coming in properly, would the lights on the helmets go out?
Well, now, that would be, I would say, to answer that properly, I just don't know. You had you filled them with carbon, pieces of carbon, this little. I used to have one of them lights. I wish they'd kept it. I don't have it now. And then you hook it up here, you had a cap, a miner's cap. You hook it there. Well, when you put this carbide in there, and then you put so much water in that carbide, you know what I mean? That made her sizzle. Then you had it's like your lighter, your cigarette lighter, mm-hmm. And that would start her off. Now, whether that, I say, low air would not give you, but I'm beginning to doubt it. But the miner, average miner, or the company would know. If it was safe, wasn't enough air, you know, to start the day and finish it, because they didn't like to. I can remember an old saying that if a man was seriously hurt or otherwise during the working day, the day was over, every miner quit his work, and that was it for the day.
During this time, coal was used quite extensively.
To my knowledge, to my knowledge, that all coal in the vicinity of Bay and here was mostly bought up by the railroads in this vicinity. There was the Grand Trunk, Michigan Central at the time, and the Pier Marquette Railroad, which now is what they call the CNO. Numbers of places used it. There was a supply that was brought in and placed at different local retail yards, which the miner's family was given a lesser charge, and the coal was delivered by a private owner or dealer to his home. I think it was $2.
It was $2 at the time?
$2, to my knowledge, at that time. The miners themselves got a rate, cut rate.
How much coal was that for $2? Was that?
That would be the ton.
Talk about $2
a ton,
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when the railroads advanced to the diesel engines, then is that when the coal mines started phasing out in this area?
Well, to my knowledge, I would say that the phasing out of the mines around this area would be, I know that Robert Gage, that's the big chief out of Unionville, was still going in 38. That was one of the last ones. The so-called cooperative mines, such as the Crescent, their coal was also locally here. And to my knowledge, the last mine that was in Bay County here would be the Monitor. That was a small cooperative mine, too, off the Salzburg Road. Now, I can recall when World War Number One was on, there was a coal shortage throughout the nation, and the miners was asked to work 7 days a week. Before that, it was usually just the six. It was always 6 days when they worked. And I was told that when the miners went down that seventh day, when they went in to harness their mules, to take them out of their stalls, to hook them on their car, start their day's work, they had one time with those mules, that they would break loose and run back into the stalls. Now that is a coincidence. They said, they seem to know 6 days was their daily schedule. Now that's just true, sir. And I used to get the biggest bang out of that. Somebody said, "Well, a mule knows more than the average human." Now these mules, of course, was well taken care of and kept up with a blacksmith. They had their own blacksmith at each mine. His job was to make sure, as they call him, the boss driver, that this mule needed a shoe, so forth. And by the way, these mules all had certain names. If there was 50 mules, they all had a different name. One would be Harry, one would be Topsy, one would be Ben, Bill, Tommy, and they was known as such.
So. You mentioned earlier that you bought one of these mules, correct?
Oh, yes. Year 1927, I had some acreage on the Bangor Road in Bangor Township, and I needed a steed, as I call it, for to do a little cultivating and so forth. And very dear friend of mine said, well, why don't you go out to the Beaver Mine? They're selling some of their excess mules out there. So I drove out there, and I asked the superintendent, was it true that they was selling some of their livestock off? He said, yes. And he says, there's one there you can have for $4. Mentioned the price, all right. And I said, well, I'm glad to take him. I told him what I wanted for. And I was informed that his name was Bill Bryan, a mule that was brought in from Chicago to the Winona Beach Mine as a real young mule. And the variation in the years would be from, the beach mine closed down, should I say, about 1909. And I had the same mule and was verified by different coal miners that was Bill Bryan. The reason he was named Bill Bryan, they had bought two new mules out of the stockyards in Chicago, horse sales there, and the name was, what shall we call him? Well, election's coming up, but that was when Bryan the average life of a mule, his age is, I would say, unknowing. I have known some of them to live in the 40s, 40 years of age. So according to that, the average of the of livestock or horse or mule, a 18-year-old horse would be the life of a man would be 40, between the difference, 18 to 40.
Your brother who worked in the mines, did he retire from the mines?
No, he, later on in years, and I would say the year approximately 1923, took a job of a small mine in Albion, Michigan.
What was the average retiring age for miners?
I would say a miner was old to me, and I'll still stay with it. A miner was old when he was 55. But of course, you didn't get any pensions them days either.
How does that compare with the factory workers? Did they retire at 55 also, or was it later?
Now, you mean?
No, at that time.
Well, the factory worker, to my knowledge, never was retired or pensioned off up till the movement, you know, like when Roosevelt put in the security, mm-hmm. and Social Security and all that. That's when that really comes. There was a number of miners that, and is yet, drawing what they call Social Security. And I know a few of them. And one is 90 years old, 91 years old, 80 years old.
So you would say that working in the mine was a little harder on the individual physically than factory work. Is that the reason why they retired earlier?
I would say yes. I would say yes. Sir, in looking at my sheet here, possibly a last minute resume, would be some coal mines. They had what they call number one veins, good veins of coal. Some 3 to 5 feet high, some less. I've heard of miners telling about digging coal itself between the rock and the ceiling, 2 feet high. So that's a rough job. You had to lay on your side. How far you make a living.
So if the coal was, the vein ran along the bottom of the tunnel, then they had to get on their back or their side and pick away at it.
It was a lot of pick work sometime and a lot of hard work. It was a hard job.
Yes.